had pleased the Lord by his performance of penance, austerities, and Srila Jiva Goswami comments to text 20 that the desire for creation was not the dominant desire within Brahma, but the dominant desire was to please the Lord. Therefore, the Lord knew this. How did the Lord know this? Because sarvasya chaha mridde sanavisto mata smitam jnanam aponam cha, that he is in everyone's heart. So he knew what Brahma's desire was, that it was to please him. And therefore, the Lord was pleased with Brahma and impregnated Brahma with Vedic knowledge. Nidami buddhi yogam tam yena mamu payanti te. He gave him that knowledge, the Krishna conscious knowledge, Vedas chasavaram heva vidyo. He gave him knowledge about himself. So, in text 20, the Lord said to Brahma, O Brahma, impregnated with the Vedas, I am very much pleased with your long accumulated penance, with the desire for creation. Hardly I am pleased with the pseudo-mystics. So what is it that pleases the Lord? This is interesting. Brahma underwent hardship in his meditation in such a difficult situation alone for thousands and thousands of our years. So what was it that pleased the Lord? Why is it that Krishna was pleased? Why is Krishna pleased when someone undergoes hardship? Is it the fact that he's undergoing hardship that makes Krishna happy? Does he like to see people undergoing hardship? No! But those austerities were done for his pleasure, for the Lord's pleasure. And when something is done to please Krishna, that is what's pleasing Krishna, because it's a gesture of affection. That is the point. That he did something for Krishna's pleasure. Unlike these souls in the material world, the conditioned souls, nothing is done for the pleasure of Krishna. Everything is done for one's own selfish interests. So Krishna was pleased with Brahma and awarded him the Vedic knowledge, the knowledge of everything. And then in the next verse, Varam varaya badram te varesham mahavanchitam brahmantraya parisrama pumsamadarshana vidbi. I wish you, this is the Lord speaking to Brahma, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead speaking to one of his devotees, being pleased with him. I wish you good luck, O Brahma. You may ask from me, the giver of all benedictions, all that you may desire. You may know that the ultimate benediction, as the result of all penances, is to see me by realization. So this is the goal, and now he's saying that whatever you want, you have pleased me, and I am the one who awards everyone in this world, everything that they've achieved, it is me who has given it to them. People naturally think we attain things by our hard work and our own power. When we attain something, we feel quite proud. Even if someone is very beautiful in this world, they're very proud. But what did they do to attain that beauty? It wasn't that they went out and bought a nose and put it on, and then they got a piece from here and put it on, and they designed it themselves and made themselves beautiful. No. They were born in that way. But yet, people become proud of whatever they have. But 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 Krishna is saying that he is the one, when someone has gotten something, it means that Krishna has given it to him. And therefore, why should one be proud? Krishna is the giver of all benedictions. Now this point comes up later on in a very important way. Now, so far, Brahma has pleased the Lord and the Lord has recited these two verses to him. I'm very much pleased with you. You've performed these penances. I'm not pleased with the pseudo-mystics, the ones who are practicing the Kuti Yogana, those who are practicing austerities and penances. For what purpose? To gain some powers. The Lord may give them their powers, but he's not actually pleased with them. There will be in another... in one of the other verses, there's a description of how Krishna deals with everyone. We'll read that. But that, when one gains some power, when one gains beauty or wealth or strength or knowledge or some fame, that is coming from Krishna, but that is not actually the sign of Krishna's pleasure upon someone. The sign of Krishna's pleasure is when he either manifests himself before a living entity, or he manifests the very means that the living entity can associate with him. That is actually Krishna's pleasure. That is actually Krishna's mercy. Nothing else is mercy. Because those other things, the beauty, the wealth, the fame, even the knowledge, that entangles us further in the material world. That is not actually what Krishna wants. Because those things will breed pride. They tend to breed pride. That is not actually what Krishna wants, so that's not actually a manifestation of his pleasure. But what is, again, is when Krishna gives us the association, a situation where we can advance in Krishna consciousness and develop our love for him. That is the direct sign of Krishna's mercy. So therefore Krishna says, hardly I am pleased with the Kuti yogis, the false yogis, because they are desiring something from me. Yes, I, the giver of benedictions, gives them what they want. They want some siddhis, they want some powers, so that they can become proud and think that they are so wonderful and they can think they are God and people will appreciate them and even worship them as God. It is me who's giving that to them, but that is not a mark of my pleasure upon me. Because what is a mark of my pleasure, upon someone is to see me by realization and the means or the association or the taste for those things that will bring one to the point where he will actually realize Krishna. Because that is all that is to be gained within material existence. What else is valuable in material existence except when material existence or Krishna actually awards us the means to get out of material existence? If we are in a deep dark prison cell and someone gives us a mirror or something, so we can look at how wonderful we are. Is that a real gift? Yes, it's something maybe. But it is not the gift. The gift is to bring someone out, to rehabilitate, to bring them out, to change their consciousness, to say, yes, now you are free from chains and shackles, the bars of the prison. You are a free person now. Go. Enjoy life, enjoy your existence. So that is the actual result, the ultimate benediction, the result of all penances, to see me by realization. And then, Prabhupada explains in the purport, when one realizes the Supreme Lord, one does not struggle hard to perform such penances. The next stage of life, it's to discharge devotional service to the Lord just to satisfy Him. To discharge devotional service to satisfy the Lord. To please, to act with no other desire other than to please the Lord. That is the motivation. When the motivation, when the desire is right, then everything is right, then the Lord is pleased. Text 22. So again, after realizing the Lord or realizing one's relationship with the Lord, the next thing is that one performs so activity to please Krishna. And what is that called? That is called seva. That is called devotional service. That is called bhakti. Activities meant for the pleasure of the Lord. Service. So naturally, when one has some realization of his relationship with Krishna, one feels some affection for Krishna. That's what it means to understand our relationship with him. And then naturally, what one wants to do is do something for that person. First, the affection is there, and then there's a manifestation of the affection. When the work, the activity, is a manifestation of the affection for Krishna, actually meant for his pleasure, that is called seva or devotional service. Bhajate mam ananyavak. So the Lord continues to say to Brahma, the highest perfectional ingenuity, intelligence, or the proper use of one's consciousness, is the personal perception of my abodes. And this has been possible. Why? Because of your submissive attitude in the performance of severe penance according to my order. So Srila Swami has commented, this verse states that the Supreme Lord said that Brahma saw his abode by his grace, by the Lord's grace, not by Brahma's austerities. We'll read the verse again. The highest perfectional ingenuity in the personal perception of my abodes is the personal perception of my abodes. Abodes, the realm in which I live. Loka, my planet. This is what everyone wants, to go to that place, that spiritual world. Everyone is truly longing for that. So why has Brahma been able to realize this, attain this realization? This has been possible, the Lord says, because of your submissive attitude in the performance of severe penance according to my order. All Prabhupada's purports here especially are so sweet and nice. We should all read them one by one. I'm not reading that many. But we should read them. They're very, very powerful and sweet. Here in this purport, Prabhupada said, in that Bhagavad Gita, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna asks that one always be mindful of him. Always be his devotee. Always worship him only and always bow down before the Lord. And by doing so, one is sure to go back home, back to Godhead, without any doubt. In other places, also the same order is there, that one give up all other engagements and fully surrender unto the Lord without hesitation, and the Lord will give such a devotee all protection. These are the secrets of attaining the highest perfectional stage. Lord Brahma exactly followed these principles without any superiority complex, which means no pride. So he followed everything with no pride. He was submissive to the Lord. He subjugated himself. He placed himself under the Lord, and very submissively and for the pleasure of Krishna followed his orders. With no pride, and thus he attained the highest perfectional stage of experiencing the abode of the Lord and the Lord himself with all paraphernalia. The Lord continues, So basically what's going on here, and until text 24 as well, he's going to explain, the Lord is explaining the process of achieving him. And it is called penance in the proper mood. And that proper mood, what is that proper mood? What, when we usually think of penance, what do we think of? What is a synonym for penance? Austerity. What does penance mean?
Suffering.
What else? But for what purpose? Huh? What is the connotations of penance? Atonement. Atonement. That you have done something wrong and you perform penance to atone, to right the thing that you have done wrong. So, or to gain something. You want to gain something. It is a hardship inflicted more or less upon oneself to gain something. Now, when one is trying to gain something, mostly, me myself, I am in the center. I want to gain something that I think will be good for me, that will bring me happiness. But we should note here that that was not Brahma's concept at all. He wasn't thinking, I shall be the creator, and I need the powers to create. I wanted to create because I like creating. He wasn't that kind of an artist. I like creating, so let me do that. And Krishna wants me to do it, so that's good. But no, that wasn't his mood at all. He performed those austerities to gain the power, to gain the potency, to create. But what was foremost in his mind was Krishna's pleasure. Now, this trying to please Krishna was what evoked Krishna's mercy upon him. That's what the Lord is telling him. This trying to please me, because there are so many different ways. Brahma did something for so many thousands of years. We can't do that. But the same principle of penance, devotional penance, which Krishna is going to say amazing things about right now, the same principle of devotional penance, in other words, basically acting to please Krishna, is what that is bhakti. That is Krishna's internal energy. So much so that the next verse, 23, the Lord himself says, O sinless Brahma, you may know from me that it was I who first ordered you to undergo penance when you were perplexed in your duty. Such penance is my heart and soul, and therefore penance and I are none different. I create this cosmos by such penance. I maintain it by the same energy, and I withdraw it all by the same energy. Therefore the potential power is penance only. So this penance that Krishna is speaking of isn't the penance of mystics, of mendicants, because in different times in history, you won't find this in the West ever, that more or less that people perform penance and they whip themselves. Or sometimes you see sometimes that people take this in Bali, they do this, right? They take hooks, and pierce their body with it, and they hang lemons from their body. Did you ever? Yeah, they do. These are penances, but these are grotesque premises that may get someone some power. But this is not at all what is pleasing to Krishna, and this is not at all what Krishna is speaking about, because these penances, these austerities, these hardships, are not according to the order of Krishna, and they are not centered on Krishna's pleasure. But real penance, real activities meant for Krishna's pleasure, where one will do so many things, anything, because one thinks that it will please Krishna. This is Krishna's internal energy. This is bhakti. It means that one's affection for Krishna is so strong that one will even undergo difficulties if it will bring Krishna pleasure. And if it will bring me pleasure and it won't bring Krishna pleasure, I won't do it. I have no attraction. The center of the consciousness is on Krishna. This is wonderful. This is spiritual. This has nothing to do with the material world, actually. This is Krishna's internal energy. This does not come cheaply. And it is so powerful, this force of bhakti, of transcendental penance. Krishna says again, this is my heart and soul. This is bhakti. And therefore penance and I are none different. Krishna is no different from his internal energy. I create this cosmos by this penance. I maintain it by the same energy. I withdraw it. It's all done ultimately through Krishna's energies. Therefore, the potential power is penance only, because this is Krishna's energy. So read these two purports, the 23 and 24. So this section that we're reading today is divided into two parts. There's Brahma's, or what Krishna is telling Brahma. Brahma has just pleased the Lord. And the Lord is so pleased with him, he's actually shaking his hand. And then the Lord speaks to Brahma and describes the glories of penance and why he is pleased with him and why he's awarded him a vision of the spiritual world. Because he has taken shelter of bhakti and done what the Lord said submissively for the Lord's pleasure in order to be able to serve. And then in the second part, which we'll get to, then the Lord Brahma will speak. This is the Lord speaking, and then Brahma is going to speak, and he's going to ask the Lord for something very wonderful. So in the purport, when the Lord says, such penance is my heart and soul, and therefore penance and I are none different. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The penance by which one, now please listen carefully. The penance by which one can see the personality of Godhead face to face is to be understood as devotional service to the Lord and nothing else. What is the Sanskrit for devotional service to the Lord? Bhakti. Because only by discharging devotional service, only by bhakti in transcendental love, can one approach the Lord. Now this point is also very important, but we won't talk about it right now. We'll come up a little later. That by devotional service in love, one can approach the Lord. Such penance is the internal potency of the Lord and is none different from him. It is bhakti. It is not, again, it is not what we typically think of as penance, atonement, austerity. It is simply those activities, willing to do anything at any cost to please Krishna. Truly, for him, anya vilasita sanyam, ganakama alavrita, for Krishna's pleasure. Such acts of internal potency are exhibited by non-attachment for material enjoyment. So that will come along with the attraction to Krishna, the desire to please Krishna. There will be a detachment from desire to exploit the material energy. The living entities are encaged. Such a nice use of the word. Of what? Encaged. What is the cage? The body. What were you thinking of? The bird in the cage. That's what I was thinking of too. Encaged. It is a cage. And how about the man in the chains? Trapped. It's sad. Did you ever see someone actually in chains? I remember when I was young, and when I was maybe 10 or 12 years old, we were traveling, myself and my family were traveling to in a part of the United States, in the southern parts of the United States, where they used to take the convicts and chain them up and make them work. And they used to call it the chain gang. So I remember traveling and seeing people chained up like that for the first time in my life. I was a little boy and I started crying. I thought it was very, very sad. And no one can be happy chained, because by nature we want freedom. So to be chained means losing freedom, and loss of freedom, no matter, like Prabhupada said when he was in Moscow. Where is any Muscovites? Only one. Yes. He was in Moscow, but it was he was criticizing the communist government. And he said that, "I am in my room. I may not want to go out at all. But soon as you say you're not allowed to go out, then it becomes a prison and torture." And then Prabhupada said, "I am a freedom lover." But we are all freedom lovers, and we are enchained in this body, encaged. So the living entities are encaged in the conditions of material bondage. Because, why? What has put us in this condition of encagement? Because of their propensity for overlordship. But by engagement in the devotional service of the Lord, one becomes detached from this enjoying spirit. The devotees automatically become detached from worldly enjoyment, and this detachment is the result of perfect knowledge, perfectly realized knowledge, not just head knowledge. Means it is realized, perfectly realized knowledge that I am Krishna's. I don't want to enjoy those things produced of matter. Why? Because then bahurupa ivavati mayaya bahurupaya ramamano guneshvasa. When you're trying to enjoy ramamano, enjoy guneshvara, those things produced by the world of matter, then mamaham iti manite, one thinks that this is me and everything is mine, and then encagement, bahurupa, in so many different forms. So when one is actually realizing Krishna consciousness, then one is free, because he's free from that spirit to enjoy, and he's fixed in the serving spirit. So the devotees automatically become detached from worldly enjoyment, and this is the result of perfect knowledge. Therefore, the penance of devotional service includes knowledge and detachment, and that is the manifestation of the transcendental potency. One cannot enjoy material illusory prosperity if he desires to return home back to Godhead. One who has no information of the transcendental bliss and the association of the Lord foolishly tries to enjoy this temporary material happiness. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita it is said that if someone sincerely wants to see the Lord and at the same time wants to enjoy this material world, he is considered a fool only. One who wants to remain here in the material world for material enjoyment has no business entering the eternal kingdom of God. Why can't he enter? Because he doesn't have the qualification. And what is the qualification? Wanting to please Krishna. So the Lord favors such a foolish devotee by snatching all that he may possess in the material world. So is that a promise or a threat? If you want to be a devotee and you want to stay here and enjoy at the same time, better watch out, because she's going to snatch away everything. So people are very afraid of that, really. They don't want to become devotees because they fear that Krishna, they see that the devotees of Lord Shiva, they are very, very wealthy, and the devotees of Vishnu tend towards being poor. So they're afraid of worshipping Krishna because Krishna makes halisha tadaram sarai. The Lord favors such a foolish devotee by snatching all that he may possess in the material world. If such a foolish devotee tries to recoup his position, then the merciful Lord again snatches away all that he may have possessed. By such repeated failures in material prosperity, he becomes very unpopular with his family members and friends. In the material world, and Prabhupada himself had direct realization of this. In this material world, the family members and friends honor persons who are very successful in accumulating wealth by any means. The foolish devotee of the Lord is thus put into forcible penance by the grace of the Lord. And at the end, the devotee becomes perfectly happy being engaged in the service of the Lord. Therefore, penance and devotional service of the Lord, either by voluntary submission or by being forced by the Lord, so that's our choice, is necessary for attaining perfection. And thus, such perfection, such penance is the internal potency of the Lord. One cannot, however, be engaged in the penance of devotional service without being completely free from sins. Because Brahmaji, he was sinless. It says, the Lord said, "O sinless Brahma." As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, only a person who is completely free from all reactions of sins can engage himself in the worship of the Lord. So one has to be pure to engage in pure devotional service. What is the verse in the Bhagavad Gita? What chapter? End of 7. Brahmaji was sinless, and therefore he faithfully discharged the advice of the Lord. Tapa, tapa. And the Lord, being satisfied with him, awarded him the desired result. Therefore only love and penance combined can please the Lord. So what again does penance mean in this? Penance means those activities meant, the activities, the service meant for his pleasure, where one is fixed and determined that I am going to please him, come hell or high water. It may be difficult for me, it may be easy for me, but that is not the consideration. My consideration is whether he is pleased or not, and I want to please him. That is love. And that mood is surrender. This is anukalasya sankalpa pratikalasya varjanam. One is accepting what is good for pleasing Krishna. So this to really be on that level naturally, one has to be sinless, one has to be pure. So we work towards this. And this is the price for going back to Golok. And that penance, that devotional service is the Lord's internal energy. Radini Sambit. One cannot, however, be engaged in the penance of devotional service without being completely freed from sins. Brahmaji was sinless. Therefore, he faithfully discharged the advice of the Lord, tapa tapa, and the Lord, being satisfied with him, awarded him the desired result. Therefore, only love and penance combined can please the Lord. That means love and the activity of love. And thus, one is able to attain his complete mercy by that. He directs the sinless, and the sinless devotee attains the highest perfection of life. Such wonderful instructions in these purports. Very deep understanding, explained simply, but very deep. And we should read these and deeply meditate upon them and think, how can we apply them? The next purport. So here in this verse, the Lord explains that I'm maintaining the cosmos by this energy, meaning the energy of penance, meaning by the devotional energy, And then he says, Prabhupada explains, in executing penance, one must be determined to return home back to Godhead and must decide to undergo all types of tribulations for that end. Even for material prosperity, name and fame, one has to undergo severe types of penance. Otherwise, no one can become an important figure in the material world. Why then are there severe types of penance for the perfection of devotional service? An easygoing life and attainment of perfection and transcendental realization cannot go together. The Lord is more clever than any living entity. Therefore, he wants to see how painstaking the devotee is in devotional service. The order is received from the Lord, either directly or through the bona fide spiritual master, and to execute that order, however painstaking, is the severe type of penance. So Prabhupada is directly defining it here. One who follows this the principle rigidly is sure to achieve success in attaining the Lord's mercy. In other words, to be fixed in that concept. So today I'm in a good mood. I'll do it. Today I'm not in a good mood today. I won't do it. No. We don't. This is not Krishna consciousness when one is governed by one's mind. No, one becomes fixed in the order, rigidly, strongly, nishta, fixed in the order of the Lord, directly or through the spiritual master, and following that, and that's how to attain the Lord's mercy. Okay, so after the Lord explains this to Brahma after shaking his hand, now Brahma said, text 25, Bhagavan Sabhutanam Madhyaksho Vashito Guham Vedaya Pritirudhina Pragnena Chakirshitam. O Personality of Godhead, you are situated in every living entity's heart as the Supreme Director. And therefore, you are aware of all endeavors by your superior intelligence without any hindrance whatsoever. So Brahma says that you know everything because you are in everyone's heart. Ishvara Savabhutanam Riddhisaya Janatisthiti. In everyone's heart, you know everything. But in spite of that, even though you know everything, text 26, I am praying to you to kindly fulfill my desire. So Brahma is saying, even though you know what is in my heart and what is in my mind and what I'm thinking and what I'm desiring, you know that. You know that already. But yet, in spite of that, I am praying to you, I'm going to ask you to fulfill my desire. May I please be informed how, and here is the desire he has, in spite of your transcendental form, you have a completely spiritual form, you assume the mundane form, although you have no such form at all. Because the Lord is everywhere because Brahma is going to be creating the material world, and he understands that everything is composed of the Lord. The Varata Rupa, as we had talked about previously, is there, which is the Lord's form in the material world, although the Lord has no material form, and the material energy is the Lord. It's not different from the Lord, but yet the Lord is completely spiritual, yet there's the material energy that's not different from him, and the Virata Rupa, which is material energy, which is not different from him. So how is it that you have a transcendental form, but you assume a mundane form, although you have no such form at all? You're a spiritual person, but yet You're everything in the material world, yet you have nothing material about you. So please, tell me about this. How have you done such a wonderful thing? Now, in the last line of the purport to this verse, Prabhupada explains, in other words, there is nothing but the Lord. And still the Lord is different from all such manifestive activities. How it is so will be explained later on. So Brahma has asked about the Lord's Achintya Veda Veda, inconceivably the same and different relationship with his energies. O master of all energies, so that's the first thing that Brahma is asking. Second, please tell me philosophically about them, about all about them. You play like a spider that covers itself by its own energy, and your determination is infallible. It's interesting that Brahma has asked the Lord, he's comparing the Lord like to a spider. Now why? Why is the Lord compared to a spider? Because the spider, the web comes from him only, and sometimes the web is there and he's hidden, and you cannot see the spider. And then when the spider wants, he just gobbles up the web again, and there's nothing more. So Krishna manifests the material energy, and then all from him, there's nothing else. He doesn't go to the hardware store and buy this piece and that piece. Everything just simply comes from him. And then he winds it back up into him again, like the spider. And it's interesting that Brahma is asking the Lord about that. And earlier on in the, I think it's the fifth chapter, Brahma is asked more or less the same thing by Narada Muni. Because Narada is watching Brahma. Brahma is the secondary creator. And this is very, what he's going to say is very interesting. But he says that Narada is thinking that Brahma is the actual creator. So he says, as the spider very easily creates the network of its cobwebs and manifests its power of creation without being defeated to others, so also you yourself, by employment of your self-sufficient energy, creates without any other's help. So Narada is thinking that, had been thinking that Brahma is that one, in comparing him to a spider. And Brahma is actually saying it about the Lord. So therefore when Narada says this to Brahma, that you are the creator, he says, no, not me. It is the Lord who is the creator. I am not like the spider. He is like the spider. And that was the original Spider-Man. The real one. So Brahma there refused to take that position. So he says, like a spider, and Prabhupada explains in the purport, the exact example is the spider and spider's web. The web is created by the spider and it is maintained by the spider. And as soon as the spider likes, the whole thing is wound up within the spider. The spider is covered within the web. If an insignificant spider is so powerful as to act according to its will, why can't the Supreme Being act by his supreme will in the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the cosmic manifestation? By the grace of the Lord, a devotee like Brahma, or one in his chain of disciplic succession, can understand the almighty personality of Godhead, eternally engaged in his transcendental pastimes in the region of different energies. So Brahma has asked now about for the Lord to explain this to him. And then he says, please tell me so that I may be taught in the matter of the instruction of the personality of Godhead. Please tell me how you are doing this. Now, Brahma, remember, he has done the austerities. For what reason? To please the Lord. But what was the service, the devotional service he wanted to perform? It was to create the universe. So he's going to ask how it's the Lord who's doing this. Please tell me how you're doing everything like the spider is doing everything in the creation. So please tell me how the person, about the personality of Godhead, and may thus act instrumentally, so I can act instrumentally to generate living entities without being conditioned by such activities. O my Lord, the unborn, you have shaken hands with me, just as a friend does with a friend, as if equal in position. I shall be engaged in the creation of different types of living entities, and I shall be occupied in your service. I shall have no perturbation, no disturbing in this, but I pray that all this may not give rise to pride, as if I were the supreme. Look what he was going to be doing, such a big, powerful, responsible position, so much so that Narada Muni even thought that he was the creator. But because he's gotten these instructions, and we'll hear them, and these instructions that he's going to get from the Lord are the entirety of the Bhagavatam in four slokas, the Chaturshloki Bhagavatam. And they explain the answer to this question and leading up to how to perform devotional service, understanding that Krishna is doing everything, so that one can do it as a humble servant and not become proud, yet do it and be empowered to do it. To be instrumental to the direct will of the Lord is the natural constitutional position of the living entity. Whereas to be an instrument in the hands of the illusory energy of the Lord is material bondage for the living entity. In that conditional state, the living entity speculates on the absolute truth and his different activities. But in the unconditioned stage, the living entity directly receives knowledge from the Lord. And such, a liberated soul acts flawlessly without any speculative habit. The Bhagavad Gita confirms emphatically that the pure devotees who are constantly engaged in the loving transcendental service of the Lord are directly advised by the Lord. So much so that the devotee unwaveringly makes progress on the path back home, back to Godhead. Pure devotees of the Lord are therefore not proud of their definite progress, whereas the non-devotee speculator is in the darkness of illusory energy and is very much proud of his misleading knowledge based on speculation without any definite path. Lord Brahma wanted to be saved from that pitfall of pride, although he was posted in the most exalted position within the universe. And then I'll just read the final paragraph of the purport to 30. Devotees of the Lord are engaged in the specific duty offered by the Lord, and such duties are successfully carried out without hindrance because they are ordained by the Lord. In other words, Brahma is called the secondary creator. And when Narada asks him, "Are you the creator?" Brahma's answer is, I am creating that which has already been created by the Lord. The Lord creates everything, and I am just manifesting what He's already created. So this is actually the secret of success, or a secret of success, or what we're talking about is the secret of success in Krishna consciousness, that one serves fully to please the Lord. And this is what Krishna has told Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, that you become instrumental to me. All these people on this battlefield have already been killed by me, but now I want to do it through you. They're already dead. Even if you don't want to fight, Arjuna, they're still dead. But I want to do it through you. So you be an instrument. So when something is ordained by the Lord, it must happen. The credit of success goes not to the doer, but to the Lord. But persons with a poor fund of knowledge take the credit of success into their own accounts and give nothing to the credit of the Lord. That is the symptom of the non-devotee class of men. Okay, thank you very much, Hare Krishna. So there were two parts again of this section that we read. The first part was description of what penance is, and it is devotional service. The Lord was speaking to Brahma and saying how powerful penance was, and a real definition, a very practical understanding and definition of what it is and what Brahma did that pleased Krishna. And then in the second part, the second verses, Brahma asked the Lord how he is doing everything, how he is the one creating, how he is the one who has done the service that Brahma is going to do. Explain it philosophically so that he can do it without pride. It's very wonderful. So any questions? Comments? Is that the same?
Yeah.
Action and inaction means that you are acting, you think you're acting, but it's actually the modes of material nature acting. If you're in the material world, you're not acting. And if you are inactive, and Krishna, the internal energy is working through you in that sense, and you are not participating in the material world. Yeah, I think it's very parallel.
Thank you.
Right, thank you. So therefore the devotee, when he's doing so many things, but he doesn't think he's the doer. He's thinking that Krishna is doing it through me. It's all being done by the potency of bhakti. You don't understand how it's all being done by bhakti. Is that what you're saying?
It seems that there's a distinction made between penance and bhakti in the sense that penance implies difficulty.
And bhakti is all gulab jamuns and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Yeah?
Sugar and spice.
And everything nice. Jai Prabhu. I remember this one.
Somewhere we read.
Yeah? What does that mean? But what does that mean? That doesn't mean that the difficulties aren't there, but it means that his only concern is pleasing Krishna. So the difficulties are completely insignificant because he only cares about pleasing Krishna. But one has to be very deep to be on that level. It's not superficial.
Yeah.
There's some story that it's like a person who has, in the material world, a man has a lover. And he's running along the path or something, and he knocks over this person, and he's cheating, he's stealing, he's doing all kinds of such difficult climbs across the river. He does. There's that story of Bilamangala Thakur before, where he was carrying his from Krishna Karnamrita. He was carrying his father died. And he was carrying the funeral, the body on the, to the funeral parlor, and he didn't look at his watch, but he understood, oh, I have an appointment with a prostitute now. So he said to someone, please hold this, I have to go. So he left in the middle of this, and he went to the river, and then when he went to the river, a big storm started. And her house was on the other side. So the river was, there was raining, lightning, waves. No boatman would go across, it was so dangerous. So he jumped in the water and started swimming. And then he needed something to hold on to, and he thought it was a log, and it was a dead body. And he held on to the dead body and pushed, somehow made his way across. And it was storming and raining and lightning and thundering. And then we got to the other side, the lights were out, because she thought, who would, no one would come and see me in this weather, only no one in their right mind would come. So she closed everything, and everything was dark. So he, and there was a big wall around her house, so he wanted to, and he knocked on the door and no one answered. So he grabbed, there was a vine, and he tried to grab the vine to pull himself over the wall, the big wall. And it was a snake, not a vine. So he grabbed hold of the snake, he didn't care, and he pulled himself across, and then knocked on the door. And she came to the door, and she was so surprised. And she told him that if you had as much determination to serve Krishna as you had to see me, you would be the most pure devotee. So for material things, people have so much determination, perform so much austerity, that's what Prabhupada explained that in the verse too. So when one wants something so much in the material world, he doesn't see left, he doesn't see right, he just sees what he wants, and it doesn't appear like austerity at all. But lazy people, that's for the person who is self-driven and has, you know, ambition, he wants something in this world. But for lazy people, even to dial the phone, you know, to get out of bed and dial the phone is too much for them. So we are like that. In the beginning stages of devotional service, everything is so hard and difficult, and like that, it's difficult for Krishna. There's nothing in it for me, like that. But the devotee, he is like that ambitious person. He only sees Krishna. So both are true, depending upon what level. Any other questions or comments? Does that answer your question?
I'm not clear about how the Lord, how to understand if the Lord creates
who creates? Was that the question you were asking? So I didn't answer it then.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said, you asked me whether I could understand that. The answer to that is yes,
Okay, so who does the creation, for example, of the material world? Could anyone help her? She's forgotten. Brahma. Okay, so if it's Lord Brahma and he's doing it because out of devotion, and Lord Shiva destroys, and Lord Vishnu, of course, he's Krishna, but the maintenance and everything is going on. So why? Why is the material world going on? So the living entities can advance in bhakti. So even looking on this simple way, we can see that bhakti is the cause of the maintenance and the Lord, the whole thing, the purpose of the whole thing is so that the living entities can advance in bhakti. But actually the energy is the bhakti energy, actually. This is the Lord, it's all ultimately pushed by the Lord's internal energy. What are you reading from in that little print? Yeah.
Create this cosmos by such penance. This is the Lord talking to Brahma. Maintained by the same energy.
But what is that energy? What is the energy he's talking about? His internal energy, which is bhakti. So where does bhakti? Bhakti comes from Krishna. It's Krishna's internal energy. So you're just adding that, as it is.
Created by such penance?
But that penance is not people putting lemons in their it's bhakti. That's the point. That the penance that Brahma performed, there are two aspects of it. One is the desire to please the Lord, and the second aspect is the service done in that pleasure, in that mood. And the difficulties that one undergoes in the mood of trying to serve Krishna is called penance. But what Krishna is talking about is the devotion. That's the thing. Because without devotion, there is no service. And without service, there is no difficulty. So it's all based on devotion. So that's what he's talking about.
I think the confusion is because the Lord says that I'm doing it by penance. And it could be misinterpreted that, you know, if he is also performing some sort of penance, you know, then one who he is trying to please. So, but the penance here is not the same meaning. And by penance here, it means the potency, you know, that I have so many potencies, one of them is penance.
It's bhakti potency, this is what he's talking
about.
Just
another name.
Yeah.
Because when he does by his potency, then Brahma does by bhakti, you see, that's the thing, the same.
But that potency, yeah, that potency of Krishna's that is bhakti, it's the same potency, it's Krishna's internal energy. And to catch on to that potency is what we have to do, it's Krishna's potency.
But when he does, it's not, I mean, he's not doing bhakti to somebody else, you see. So it's just name of that potency. For others it is bhakti, for him it is just his potency, his energy.
Yeah, I think clear.
Is it right to think of a penance as like perfection of character?
That is a result of penance. When you understand penance properly, that is a result, yes, one's character becomes perfect. See, what is penance? What is character? What is the perfection of character? It means you're full of integrity. And what is integrity? It means that you have a chaste consciousness. What is a chaste consciousness? It means that you are fixed, whether someone is looking or not, you are fixed in your principle of your life is dedicated to the service of Krishna. That is integrity. That is character, perfection of character. So, the essence of that comes. So even though it's difficult, like a person who, it's like one time, someone said to the, wrote Prabhupada a letter and said that he couldn't follow the four rules. He wasn't following the rules that he had promised in initiation that he would follow. And Prabhupada replied, "But you promised." In a very simple and innocent way, "But you promised." So it's difficult to keep one's promise. When one's promise is in pursuance of bhakti, the difficulties that one undergoes to keep his promise is tapasya, is austerity. So that energy, so and then from that, when one keeps one's word and keeps a chaste consciousness, that's called character and integrity. The austerity means the difficulties that one performs in the pursuance of one's devotion. We don't have to look for austerities, they come. When one performs devotional service, in the beginning we think it's all going to be lollipops and roses. But soon we find that the roses have their thorns. But we think the thorns are bad, but actually they're there for a purpose. And the purpose is, the difficulties are there for a purpose so that we can show and become fixed and show that we are serious, so we can be serious. If it was all lollipops and ice cream bars, then you don't have to be serious, because it's all lollipops and ice cream bars. Slava's looking up lollipops, and you know what is lollipop? No, not required. Is it clear? Okay. Anyway, if there's any more questions, it's too bad, because the class is over. It's 8 o'clock. So Hare Krishna. Very, very important, very, very powerful. These purports, verses. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.